Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 297 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today her menopocalypse. What? What is she talking about? Could she be talking about my menopause? Maybe. Well, we have a ridiculously cool show coming up. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. All right, everyone out there, here's your first reminder to click on to iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show because I love listening to you. Your feedback is awesome. So that's your first reminder. I'll give you another one a little later on. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about Her.
Raise your hand if you are either in perimenopause or full-on menopause, postmenopause, all the M's. Aha! Just what I thought. Everyone and his sister is into this. Well, how do you feel about it? Did it come on like, you know, wait a minute, like some kind of alien adventure? You woke up one day and there was this extra weight around your belly and you're like, aliens attacked me at nighttime and left me with all this extra stuff, that my vision's getting funky, my skin, what happened with that? What? Where's my hair? All these wild and crazy things are going on. You're saying, say what? It's called what? Menopause? Perimenopause? Uh-huh. Well, I have, for your listening pleasure, possibly one of the coolest people to talk about this. And she has a brand new book, which is numero uno in menopause. And her name is Amanda Thebe. Now, Amanda is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Yeah, girlfriends, you think this stuff is all about being in your 50s and 60s? Wrong. No, I mean, it could start as early as your late 30s, so come on now. And she is hilarious in her social media posts. She is amazing. She has exercise workouts and fitness tips that have been featured in Breaking Muscle, Girls Gone Strong, and Ultimate Sandbag Training. I want to hear about that one. Oh, my God. So I am just saying to you, hold on to your bra straps. Here comes Amanda. Amanda, welcome to the Her Podcast.
You make me sound amazing. I could just like listen to you talk about me all day long. Who knew?
Oh, my God. So I'm holding in my hot little hands one of the first, you know, pieces of this fabulous book. Oh, my God. Menopocalypse, How I Learned to Thrive During Menopause and How You Can Too. Why'd you write the book?
Yeah, great question. I always knew I had a book in me, but I never thought it would be about menopause, you know. So there's that. But you know, what it was is I realized I wanted the book that I was looking for when I was going through like the depths of despair that was my perimenopause and menopause. And so essentially, you know, I went into my 40s, feeling pretty smug, like fit and healthy, and being like the poster girl for this is what you're supposed to look like and feel like and be like in your 40s. And then when I think I was 42, I got hit with the wrecking ball of perimenopause symptoms. But the thing is, I didn't know that's what they were. And I spent 2 years going to numerous doctors and having numerous tests with no definitive answers. And it was just a horrible time for me, and lots of women have a very similar story. And it was eventually, I finally broke down when I went to my gynecologist appointment for my annual exam, and he was like, yeah, these are perimenopause symptoms, and I can help you, and these are valid, and you're not going crazy. And I was like, whoa, stop. What's perimenopause? because I've never ever heard that word before. And I was like, I mean, you're a doctor, so of course you have, but most of the general population, when you ask them, don't really know what it's about. And so that sort of sent me down the perimenopause, menopause rabbit hole. And I came out the other side with a book. So that was essentially it. And I talk about my experience, clearly, because that matters. But I just didn't want a menopause memoir. I wanted like a book, a handbook for women to sort of understand, to gain knowledge, and then to take actionable steps, you know, so they could have full responsibility and control over their health. And that was my ultimate purpose when I wrote the book.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, you call yourself in the introduction a menopause warrior. Okay. And I love that. So then you dive right on in and you're looking at the good, the bad, and the ugly of, basically hormonal replacement therapy, HRT. You're looking at when menopause and midlife collide. I love this one. Hello, dry vagina and incontinence. Whoa. Now talk to us about that.
I actually wanted to call that chapter Let's Not Beat About the Bush. I thought it was a brilliant title. And then my editor...
that's terrible.
Oh, but my editor and I went back and forth with the emails, and she was like, it's about more than the bush, isn't it? Let's talk about it. And, you know, there's a line in the book that I say, you know, I literally had symptoms falling out of my vagina. And it was one of those lines that I just was like, I have to remove myself from the physical symptoms that I'm talking about, because if I start cringing and getting embarrassed every time I talk about everything I experienced, including vaginal atrophy, then I would never be able to help other women. And so, yeah, it's sort of a bit of a cringy chapter in the book, but it's so essential, because we know that most women are going to have issues that deal with, like GSM or vaginal atrophy, and they don't do anything about it because they're horrified, they're embarrassed, and they don't feel like they can go to their doctor and talk about it, right? So they put up and shut up, and it shouldn't be that way. When we know there's things that they can do that are usually pretty simple, like, you know, the treatments of like the estrogen creams are pretty simple that can help, but they don't even get that far because they can't get over the barrier of, you know, how mortified they feel that they've peed their pants.
I know, seriously. And I've got something really wild. I'm just going to throw it out there for everyone. You just credit me with this one. Okay. We're just playing here. All right. I inadvertently found that when I got women into kettlebells, you know, to use kettlebells for high intensity interval training, things like this, just to really be fairly good with kettlebells. Guess what kettlebells do? Okay. Think about it for a second.
I know where you're going, and it's awesome. Keep going.
Here we go. So when a woman shows up, you know, with urinary incontinence, which is extremely common among women who are perimenopausal, definitely menopausal, and that happens for a loosening of the sphincters. It's basically estrogen controlled and all the rest of it. All right. So what ends up happening is that, you know, women are told to do a certain exercises, sort of Kegel maneuvers with their pelvic floor, and basically learning how to be able to bear down enough to constrain any extra leakage or whatever. So when you do kettlebells, especially when you're doing the kettlebell swings and the deadlifts, guess what you're doing? Kegels. and so I had a lot of women actually show up and say, you know, oh my God, I just had the strangest experience. I mean, my urinary incontinence issue is getting better and better all the time the more I do the kettlebells. Now, are you surprised, Amanda?
No, not at all. And then that's a really great point as well, because a lot of women don't realize that the pelvic floor is a series of muscles. And so, yes, you can exercise them. And so, yes, you can improve the integrity of the pelvic floor if you're struggling. I mean, yes, it might have some issues with estrogen as well, but we know that those type of compounding and metabolically active like exercises like work our whole trunk. So they work the core muscles, the back muscles, the pelvic floor, and even the diaphragm, because we have to work with, you know, controlled breathing. And those four areas are all a unit, so they work together well. So when you're controlling your body with a ballistic missile of a, you know, kettlebell, then yeah, your whole core becomes so strong, and that includes the pelvic floor. And so strength training is clearly a big passion of mine, and I'm so glad that you found, like, that you've had like females that have found benefits other than just getting strong. You know, it's improving their pelvic floor integrity. It's brilliant.
I love it. I just think that, you know, listen, we're women, we multitask. So, you know, you do your kettlebells, you know, you're doing your kegels, you're getting better with the urinary incontinence. Hey, you know, what's not to love here? I love chapter 5. Okay, girlfriends out there in the Her podcast arena, listen up. The title of this chapter is I'm So Bloody Fat. Okay, now what was that one about?
You know, I asked my community what was the biggest issue for them in menopause. And, you know, as for sure, it's the symptoms. They struggle with, you know, like how to control the symptoms that they're feeling. But one of the other things that really frustrates them is the fact that they put weight on. And it's really hard for women to accept that, you know, they're going through this transition, this change, and their body will ultimately change when they go through it. And it's hard for them to accept. And, you know, we've been indoctrinated in our like social media and our media, outside media, to look a certain way to be fit and healthy. And so when we start to put a few pounds on, it really can impact a woman's confidence and self-esteem, right? And so it's always the number one question. I haven't changed anything. I'm exercising. I'm eating the same, but I'm putting weight on. And, you know, when I did the research for the book, the odds are against menopausal women. You know, we see that 9 out of 10 women in North America are going to put weight on in menopause. 70% of the women in the worldwide will put weight on. And so the instinct for women to go to is like, I'm going to blame menopause for all of this, right? I'm going to blame menopause for making me put weight on. And while that's sort of like a valid sort of path to go down, what we do know is that, yeah, there are sort of like hurdles along the way that make losing weight or maintaining your regular weight harder, but nothing changes as far as like the method to lose it. You know, like the nutrition science hasn't changed, and you're an expert in this, right? We know the laws of thermodynamics. We know that we need to be and like an energy deficit, like we need to, like, you know, look at where our calories are coming from and the food we're eating. And, you know, you throw menopause into this with all of the stresses and the symptoms, and it can just feel like a really hard goal to achieve, right? And so what I try to do in this chapter is like say to women, you know, stop blaming menopause, but it actually does have something to do with it, but it's not like the only reason. You know, we need to be really honest with where we are in our lives and, you know, what is changing. I mean, are you really eating the same? Do you really exercise the way you did? Chances are you maybe not, because you're knackered. You know, you're lying on the sofa thinking, I can't even make dinner tonight. I'm not going to swing my kettlebells today. So that was one of the reasons I wrote this chapter. But I also wanted to tell women that, you know, estrogen is intrinsically connected with so many other hormones in the body that it does make losing weight actually a little bit more challenging. You know, like it affects our insulin response, it affects our cortisol response and our hunger hormones. Women are hungry all the time in menopause, and they're never satisfied with their food. You know, like you could just keep eating and eating. And so I wanted to sort of explain to them, you know, what we know happens in the body and then what they can do about it. But like to stop focusing so much on the number of the scale and sort of allow a little bit of like change to happen as well. And I finish off by saying, I would like to say like the body's a little bit smarter than you. Like it sort of knows what it's doing, you know, like don't fight it every step of the way. It's just not helpful at all.
I know. And I love the fact that you're very realistic. And I love that because at the end of the day, it's like having your own little come to heaven session. You're saying, okay, girlfriend.
That's exactly, yeah.
All right, let's just quit screwing around here. What's really going on? Can we have a conversation here? So here's the deal. You have a chapter, and it segues beautifully with what you just said, called The Four Hacks of Thriving in Menopause. So, you know, just sort of following up with what you just said about the whole issue of feeling fat and, you know, gaining weight and all the rest of it. Your first hack is how to eat. So let's go there for a minute.
Yeah, and you know, I've my nutritional training has always been in a habit-based format, and so we know that like the knee-jerk reaction for most women who put weight on is to exercise more, usually cardio, and to eat a lot less, and like just overly stress the body. And initially, they may lose weight, but it's never with any type of longevity. You know, it usually ricochets back, and they end up back at the start line. And so what my training has showed me and what's helped me personally, and then what the longitudinal studies have shown as well, is that when we make small changes, like small basic habits, and aim long-term, like the rest of your life long-term, not like a 21-day fix, these changes are likely to stick. And so the habits that I focus on in the how to eat is to remind people, like, what real hunger feels like, and that we're not just eating out of boredom or like bad habits, or, you know, just because, you know, you're walking by the kitchen and you're mindlessly snacking. It's bringing back some intuitive like thoughts to eating, some really mindful thoughts to eating, and then sort of like ditching the diet mentality and really looking more to nourishing the body and, you know, what it actually needs. So are you hungry? Have you eaten enough? Do you feel satisfied and not over full? And can you slow down your eating to just really feel nourished and really enjoy your food? And it might sound a bit woo-woo and a bit hairy-fairy, but it really does work. And I think that once women really truly learn how to feed the body, then they can learn what to eat. I think that's much more important than the actual food they put in their mouth, although that does obviously have a lot of relevance.
Yeah, because obviously you don't want them putting trash in their mouth either. And so I'm a whole foods, you know, fanatic, and there are plenty of delicious, awesome whole foods out there. So let's just sort of let it rip. Your second hack, how to move. Now, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you and I like were like kindred spirits on this. I know we met on another show, and we love movement. Movement is integral in our lives, but it's not integral in everybody's lives. And we know that a movement-filled life is much more fulfilling than a sedentary-based life. And so my main focus on that chapter, it's sort of in two parts, is one is I want women to move every single day. Just get outside. We know the power of nature, even in the snow, even in the rain. Get outside and just move every day. Go for a walk, go for a bike ride, go for a swim. Do something that makes your body just, you know, oil the joints, just get going. And it's so much better for you than any pill that you can take. It's going to fuel your body, your mind, your soul. It's going to make you feel empowered and get those endorphins going. So that's my main thing. I want to really emphasize the importance of daily movement for women. But then I then have a very focused part of that chapter on strength training. And a lot of women don't realize the importance of strength training in menopause to the rest of our lives. And I know that you know this. I also know that the fitness world doesn't know much about this, because there's a big missing part of our education there, which drives me crazy. But we know that one of the best things you can do for your body in menopause as a menopausal woman is lift heavy stuff often. Challenge yourself. You know, it's just such a unique way of exercising, and the benefits outside of lifting heavy things, you know what they're like as well. Like just it gives you a unique empowerment that literally can't be matched, I don't think, outside of the kettlebell.
I know. And, you know, I just actually posted, I just tweeted out a really cool piece that my colleague at the New York Times, Gretchen Reynolds, wrote about in her phys ed blog. And that was a fact that new research just came out showing that people who actually do resistance training, strength exercises, and that could be just body weight exercises, you know, like hit the floor and let's just see what happens with those little push-ups here, whether they're bent knee or full leg, who cares? But one thing she found in current research is that when you do that, that anxiety decreases. Now, we live in an anxious world. Understatement, things are getting a little... things are getting a little funkadelic out there, man, with all kinds of craziness. You know, we got a virus that won't go away. We have, you know, political stuff all around the world, economic stuff all around the world. I could go on. You get the picture. And really, at the end of the day, we're a little anxious, you know. And so how about we find every way we can to lessen that? And so... interestingly, this study was quite provocative, and it really showed that you can have a very significant drop in anxiety if you do this. Now, the question is like, why? What's that about? Well, you know, you're mastering something. That's kind of cool. You're getting your mind off yourself. That's kind of cool. Meaning that, you know, you, when I say yourself, all your problems and, you know, the state of the world and whatever. And at the same time, there are changes that are taking place in the cells of the body, including the brain, as well as the muscles, that are helping fortify this, which is really kind of cool. It happens at the hormonal level, and it also happens at a kind of a level in the brain where you're stimulating the growth of more neurons, and you're also elevating mood. So everything's just good there. So I love what you say about, you know, how to move. Yeah. Now, I want to move on to number three, speaking of moving. Hack number three is...
interject really quickly, just to finish off that, because I love that. I completely, like, I'm not surprised because we know it's like the zen of strength training, right, at the cellular level. But also just as a little extra bonus, if women are still not sure about whether to start or not, if you're struggling with basal motor symptoms of menopause, which are hot flashes, cold flashes, night sweats, those type of, you know, hot, cold. There's been two studies last year to show that either starting a resistance training program to maintain and build lean muscle can help reduce those by up to 70%. So if that's one of your number one symptoms, it's a very simple thing you can start doing to help improve, you know, how you're feeling.
Absolutely. No question about that. And again, I love it. And one thing people could say about both of us, I'm known as the doc who walks the talk, and you most definitely walk the talk. So no question about that. Let's go to how to manage stress. That's your hack number three, how to manage stress.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that estrogen is intrinsically connected with cortisol. And so women, like, you know, I just like to, like, think of women filling a bucket full of stress. And what we have is, you know, like you said, we wear many hats. We're juggling many balls in the air all of the time. And so, you know, usually most women in midlife, their bucket's nearly always full in the stress category. Add to that some extra symptoms that are making you feel not like yourself, making you feel tired physically, emotionally, and mentally. And then maybe add to that circumstantial things that weren't there before. Maybe you're an empty nester. Maybe, you know, your career is changing. You're going through a divorce. Your parents are old and need taken care of. So you've got all of these things happening. And then the declining estrogen means that you're not able to cope with those stresses as well as you previously could. Maybe your head pops off occasionally, like mine did. I lost my cool so many times. It was really out of the ordinary for me, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And it made it so clear to me, and then the research backed up like sort of like the thoughts I was having, that, you know, we really need to take stock and take time away for ourselves. And so we can't be doing 100 miles an hour all the time without stopping to regenerate, rejuvenate, relax. And so this is a time to like get women to stop and just say, what can I do for me today that's going to make me feel better about myself, more productive, less stressed? Is that like a mindfulness practice. I know you like to talk about that. Like, I think that's such an important thing women can do. Is it meditation? Is it just having a cup of coffee on your own without somebody nagging you in your ear or every 2 minutes? You know, for me, it could be a movement-based, like, meditation. Like, I go for a swim and I find that, like, just the most relaxing thing in the world. And I come out feeling like I could take anybody on. And so putting themselves first, shifting from the we to me mentality, I think is key. And if you don't do that through menopause, you're missing a big part of the puzzle.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And so hack number four is how to think. So differentiate that from how to manage stress.
Yeah. So it definitely intertwines without a doubt, because you can't even start to do the positive things for resiliency mindset if you're stressed and you don't have any positive thoughts about yourself. And you know, the reason I did this chapter is because I was really good friends with a psychologist, and we used to have these big long conversations, and she literally changed my life with the way that I think about aging, the way I think about, like, just going through every day, the choices I make, the people I interject with. And so I spend this chapter talking about integrating a mindfulness practice, one that really makes you put yourself first, brings you back to the present. Like you said, being in the moment with a weight training program can sort of focus you on the task in hand and make you feel grounded and in the right mind to be able to make positive changes. And then I talk about how to assess what your values are in life and what your strengths are in your life. And when you, and these are actually psychological tests that you can do online. And when you know what values that you can live by, like if it's to support your family, if it's to be kind, if it's to, you know, support friends, along with your strengths, like what you actually excel at, it's really difficult to focus on the negative parts of your life. It's really difficult because you already know, well, I'm really good at this. These are my strengths, and this is how I'm going to live my life. And it doesn't matter if I've got a bit of weight on me. It doesn't matter if I've got gray hair or wrinkles. It's fine. I'm awesome. This is what I'm good at, and this is how I'm going to live my life.
I love it. I love it, and I love it even more. So, you know, it's important. And you talk about a toolkit and building your own toolkit. What's that about? Mm.
Well, you know, because menopause, even though it's this shared journey and it goes on until the day we die, right, it's definitely very unique for every woman. And so I wanted to talk in my book about things that we know work for women in menopause and things that are nuanced based on, you know, where you are, what you're feeling, what your symptoms are. So I didn't want to be the person that says, you have to do this, 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 and this, and I'm going to fix you and I'm going to cure you, because it's just not the person I am. And what I wanted to do is say, this is what we know that works in, as far as nutrition, exercise, stress management, and the psychology of thinking. Why don't you try the things that you feel are applicable to you and they may help you feel better through this transition that you're going through? And I just want to give women choice. I want to give them knowledge and then the ability to be able to make the right decisions.
I love it.
And that's building a toolkit, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, women, I think, are walking around with an empty tool chest. They don't have it. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know what to put in it. I think they're very confused. And, you know, part of this, Amanda, is also because, quite frankly, women were never given a heads up. Until now. So they just woke up one day and suddenly, you know, their girth is expanding, you know, and all these changes are taking place throughout their body. They read a bunch of, you know, very confusing literature out there about what to do, what to buy to be able to help themselves. And I think also women love to go to the, this is all my fault place. This is my fault. Why don't I look exactly the way I did 10 years ago? I must have let something slip. What do you say to women like that?
Well, I was the same. I felt the same way. And I think that, you know, we've come from a place where the generation before us never spoke about menopause. So this, we're going into this blinkered we don't have a knowledge of what's going to happen. And I think that that's part of the problem. And so when we start not to feel ourselves, and when we start to sort of like drop the ball on things, or like we start to lose our memory, or we're, you know, we don't have the energy or the time for people, we put blame on ourselves and then shame on ourselves because we feel like we're failing. Yet we're not. Like, we're actually amazingly strong, resilient women, and we're getting thrown these curveballs all the time, and we need to learn how to cope with them. But if nobody's talking about it, how on earth are we supposed to make progress? And so I think that, like, people like you, people like me, we're opening the door to the conversation of menopause. 51% of the population are women, and if we're lucky enough, we will go through menopause. The only thing that's going to stop us is if we don't survive life, right? So we're all going to go through this, and it should be something that's just a common conversation that we all have. Yet it's not. And so I think that, you know, I don't know if that really answers the question, but what I really do believe is that the only way forward now for women who are going to follow us behind us is that we have open conversation, that there's resources there for women to turn to, that the medical community actually understand and support us, because they currently don't. There's only a handful of, you know, doctors you can go to that actually get what's going on. We're tired of being dismissed, and we're tired of being invisible. And so the demand from women is changing. You know, it's people like me that, like I said, put my vagina on the line for this, because it's so important to me that we actually speak out and are honest about this.
Well, you know, if a woman's life expectancy is well into the 80s, I mean, and we go through this change in the United States, the menopause classically really begins to hit probably around age 51, 52 on average. Well, then you got yourself another 30 years. Y'all better be enjoying it. And most importantly, we have millions of women now who are coursing through menopause and postmenopause. So actually, if we include perimenopause, it's even more millions. And so if you sit down and you think about it, why haven't we been heard, right? What's going on here? In my medical training, menopause was like a blow off. It's like, okay, for all intent and purposes, woman shows up and starts in with, you know, I have these symptoms and I have these issues, da da da, and they're all menopause related somehow, or perimenopause. And she's sitting back, and what does she get? She gets a prescription. Here, take this. Now go away. Right? Wait a minute. You know, you can't do that. Look, every single woman's hormonal journey is unique and different, and it is uniquely hers. And the way we now roll, if you're a physician like myself who gets it, is you sit down with a woman and you show her that you care enough to be able to spend more than 3 minutes talking about this and understand her journey. And then start, you know, beginning to create a blueprint for her to follow that has lots of wiggle room in it. Because I got a newsflash for you. When you're coursing through perimenopause, menopause, and then beyond, you're a moving target. It's a very dynamic process. Stuff's going on right and left.
Very well said.
Hell yeah. And so you can't just go, here, take this prescription and rock on for the next 25 years. What are you, crazy or something? You never listen to me. You know, my journey may be exquisitely different than the next woman's and the next woman's and the next woman. How dare you not listen to me? I need something customized. I deserve to have a wonderful, healthy body and mind and life. And I need you to help me. So if you don't have a doctor out there,
I deserve to be heard. That's the main thing. Women aren't being heard by their medical doctors.
That's correct.
I believe.
I totally agree with you. And that's why all these beehives that are showing up that help women. You and I were on a wonderful live broadcast that was sponsored by Genève, G-E-N-N-E-V, which is a really nice beehive of practitioners, of telemedicine, of products, of an open community of women who are really beginning to have a conversation about this. You yourself, Amanda, you little social media person, you're all over the friggin' place. And I encourage everyone out there to run on over to her Instagram at Instagram.com, Amanda.Thebe. That's T as in Tom, H as in Harry, E as in Edward, B as in boy, E as in Edward, Thebe. And I really want you to watch what Amanda is doing. She is a fitness trainer, so you're going to see her do a lot of that. She is hysterical. She is inspirational. And she'll really push you to question how you're taking care of yourself right now. There's a little bit of, come on now, reality check. What are you doing? That's why I love this chapter you wrote called How to De-Stress, Calm the F Down, and Get Some Sleep. I love it. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, my no-nonsense approach definitely is just my upbringing. You know, I'm a girl from the northeast of England, and you can take the girl out of there. But anyway, so like I came from a place where, you know, I don't like suffer fools too much. I do really believe in people having integrity and honesty and truth. And there isn't a lot of that out there. You know, I wrote a post on my, I'm very irreverent, so be careful following me on Instagram, because I really just say what I want because it's my space. And so I do. And I feel as though, you know, there are people out there ready to take advantage of women in menopause, because we're always looking for answers and we're not finding them. We need to clone lots of you. We need lots of Dr. Pams for us all out there, but they're not there right yet. And so like when I do approach a subject, I do like to approach it with a big hit of realness. And then there's the honesty that comes from my personal experience as well. And then like just like also trying to promote to women, try and be critical thinkers. I mean, it's very difficult if you were never like taught that, like in school, but just don't just take things on face value. Ask questions and look at different resources. And please don't just accept what somebody says is absolute truth, because like you said, Pam, everybody's experience is very unique, and you can advocate for yourself and demand to be heard and demand to be treated or whatever. Like, just look for the information and just don't settle. And I think that I'm not alone in thinking like this. I think, you know, women are changing. The conversation's changing and our attitudes are changing, and we're not going to settle for less. And you know, just going back to the...
No, go right ahead.
Oh, I was just going to just jump onto the beehive that you were saying about Genevieve. Like, I just want to let people know that the women who are running that are like menopausal women or perimenopausal women. We've just got a new VP that's a menopausal woman, right? We had Michelle Obama in, you know, four years ago. Like, we have women in power that show you that it can be done. Like, and it can be a very overwhelming, exhausting time in perimenopause and somewhat menopause, but there's hope. And when you sort of like come through the other side, you're a great example of this. You just forge forward and take the world by the you know what and just keep running with it.
Oh, those are called the balls.
I didn't know that was allowed to say. It's kind of good.
No, that's okay. Every now and then, you know, my producer is cringing as we speak. She goes, she did not say that. But I did, because I'm a physician and I'm just being anatomical. What can I say? Yeah, man. You know, it's interesting. Women also develop a different attitude once they cross over the 50 thing. You know, the largest number of new successful entrepreneurs after the age of 50 are women who are 50. Are women who are 50, not men, women who are 50, who just say, you know something? I'm ready to rock and roll here, okay? So if you're not on my side, if you're not helping me, get out of my way, all right? And that's just the way it's going to be. And I love that attitude, because it's a get this done, get her done kind of attitude. And it also gives you a chance to have some fun with all of this. This is an adventure. So yeah, your body's going through these changes, but I'm here to tell you as a physician that they're normal, natural changes. You did not fail. There was nothing you could have done to stop, you know, like your eyesight from getting a little funkier or something. Come on now. However, when you do have age-related changes, then you have to kind of go with it. You know, you have to accept it, adapt, and adjust, and then make it work for you and move on. All right? You can't just stand there and go, no, I don't want this change. I want my body from 10 years ago. Here's what I have to say to you. Grow up. Oh, come on now. You know, you're 10 years older. What are you, crazy or something? You know, you got to sit here and just go with it. And I'll tell you one thing. If you read Menopocalypse. Oh my God. I have to say it 35 times. If you read this book, what it'll do is it'll change your attitude about this whole thing because, quite frankly, Amanda is so real. And I think that's something that almost everyone says about you, Amanda, that you're just plain real. You know, you're like, okay, you're down to earth, you're real. You tell it like it is, even if some of that truth hurts a little bit. And it's not exactly what you thought or wanted, but it's reality. So there you have it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
It does, and that's exactly what I wanted it to come across as. It's a very easy read because I'm not a writer, so it's written the way I speak, so you can actually usually hear my voice as you're reading through it. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat something that it's not. I'm not full of doom and gloom, and I do try and look for the positive and do try to give you, you know, actionable steps to make you find the positives in a situation. But I'm not going to just tell you something just because you want to hear it. Ask my kids. It doesn't work like that in my house.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. So everyone out there, we have been talking to Amanda Thebe. She is the author of the brand new book, numero uno out there in the menopause category. It's Menopocalypse. And the subtitle is How I Learned to Thrive During Menopause and How You Can Too. Please run on out and grab the book. Her website is, I love the name of this thing, it's Fit in Chips. It's FITNCHIPS, a little toss over to the UK. Our little friends across the pond, Fit and Chips. And then she's got her Facebook with Fit and Chips. Her Twitter is Fit and Chips. And she and I tweet back and forth. And her, she's got a great YouTube channel. Oh my God. And so that's all on her website because she also does exercises. She's showing you what to do. And she is highly, highly inspirational and very, very knowledgeable about how to keep that body rocking and rolling as you go through your 40s, 50s, and beyond. And finally, run on over to Instagram with her with Amanda.Thebe. T-H-E-B-E. I can't thank you enough, Amanda, for being on the Her Podcast. Thank you so, so much.
Well, you know, this was a fangirl moment for me because I adore you. And so thank you for having me on. Thank you for continually looking out for women's health. And I appreciate the time today.
Okay, everyone out there, that's Amanda Thebe. Go buy the book, Menopocalypse. All right, now take a moment. We have just finished this episode. I want you to hit iTunes right now, rate and review the show, because I want to know what you thought about Menopocalypse. Why am I interested? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek, Twitter, Pam Peek MD, or Instagram, Pam Peek MD. Remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.